Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, January 31st Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that shaves its head and cries on camera. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
I only did that once.
Yeah, that's weird. Japan's idol culture is weird.
Do we need to, like,
give
background
on everybody in?
Well, I mean, it's like that thing of Bakemon. See, I'm tying it into manga. There's a girl from AKB48 that spent the night at a male friend's house. And she got demoted from her position at AKB48, which I don't actually know what that means, nor do I really know what AKB48 is. Yeah. I assume they're like 50.
Honestly, okay, so should we be assuming that all of our listeners are aware of what AKB48 is?
Yes.
I assume they're like Morning Musume, like a big group of girl idols.
It's a bunch of, like, let's be honest, fairly identical looking and sounding, like, teenage Japanese girls. They grab a couple and make a song. Boom,
yeah.
Money. They were in Wreck-It Ralph.
They were. They made a song for it. And then
I was not aware of that.
I guess since everyone was really angry at the girl for staying the night at a male friend's house. Because
what a terrible thing to have happen.
So she shaved her head and made a video on the official AKB48 channel where she cried on camera as she apologized for like 7 minutes. It's really uncomfortable to watch.
Well, she should have. God.
This is what happens when you lean too far into that like moe obsessive fan culture. That people start thinking like they own the personalities and they have to say virginal, impure, and then shit like this happens.
What do the fans think that, like, these girls do, like, when they're off the clock? Do they think that they just, like, go home and stand perfectly still like a statue?
No, they keep them in these little pods at the studio, and then they go into cryogenic sleep.
I'm guessing that they want fans to think that each of them has a chance with the girls.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, it's the Simpsons thing.
Yeah. We want women to think they can have sex with you.
Which was really a Beatles thing. But
when I explain that to my wife, she'll understand.
Smash cut to a woman crying.
Yeah. But it also seems much weirder and dirtier with teenage girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only a little bit. But yeah.
So in other news, I feel compelled to comment that this is our 52nd. We've been doing this thing for a year now.
We've actually been doing it for over a year because there's a couple of unnumbered episodes.
Oh, I didn't realize they were unnumbered. Okay.
I think last week was the calendar year one. It fell between, like, this episode and last one or something.
Probably.
And my horrible thing of making us not miss an episode for a whole year worked.
Can finally end. Schedules will be spotty as hell from now on.
We'll be doing, like, Friday next week and then nothing the week after and...
So yeah, I'm going on vacation. I'll talk to you guys in a couple months.
There will be a single March Jumpcast.
It'll just be me doing like a solo cast, like a couple different manga.
And impersonating the voices of everybody else. Actually, that might be pretty great.
I'd listen to it.
So yeah, a year. So thanks for everyone that's been with us for that entire time.
Now we can do a Jumpcast of the Year podcast where we look back. We
review our own podcast.
Best Jumpcast of the Year, Manga of the Year, Part 1.
Best Jumpcast of the Year, Romance Cast.
Yeah. I was on both of those, so.
Honestly, it was just kind of funny, because to a certain degree, they're much more entertaining to listen to. Like, I actually have a good time listening to the ones that I'm not in and hearing what you guys are saying. But then, of course, there's the moments where I'm kind of like shouting at the radio as I'm as I'm driving, like trying to fill in the data for stuff that you guys can't remember.
I have this weird issue where I'll listen to Jumpcast that we've recorded that I've actually been on, and then somebody will say something funny and I'll laugh, or I'll laugh at my own jokes. I'm like, wait, that's terrible. Why did I do that?
I have the thing where I'll shout at the radio something, and then I'll actually say it in the jump cast at Imran or something. Like, I'll just have the same thought again.
Ugh. Now, you see, I don't even I don't really listen to the ones that I've been in, because I've already heard them once, you know?
Yeah, but I love myself, so...
So speaking of loving yourself, what was that manga that you decided that you really liked that you have no basis for?
Something Edison. I haven't read it yet, but it's my favorite.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's been translated yet. So yes, I guess a little bit of housekeeping, because we forgot to mention it last week. Kuragane ended last week, so that series finally did not have any new series buffer below it.
Yeah.
And disappeared. And then this week there is a new series called Koi Suru Edison, which is Mike's new favorite manga.
Haven't read it. Best manga.
Yeah. It appears, which translates to Edison and Love, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to be a romance manga. It looks like it has a 1980s-ish drawing style.
It is doomed.
Yep.
Yeah. Probably. And then this week was the last chapter of Retsu Date Senpai, which was that Masamune gag manga.
That looked funny. I never actually read a chapter.
It was bad.
Was it?
Yeah, it wasn't funny.
It's been down towards the bottom for a while now.
The worst thing a comedy manga can do is not be funny.
And then next week, it looks like the new series is called World Trigger, which is based off of a one-shot which came out 3 years ago, actually. And it was Trigger Point, I think was what it was called, something like that. Let me find my...
Your notes.
Yeah, well, now, the Trigger Keeper. I couldn't find a raw or a translation or anything about that, but the mangaka of that one has only had one other series before, and it was a short-lived gag manga, so I have no idea what to expect from that one.
I just keep finding Chrono Trigger stuff on Google.
Yeah, exactly. and then, other than that, if we want to run up the bottom one so people can know whose life is short to live. I don't know if they're going to be having a third cancellation this time or not, but Kuruko-san is second to last, then Cross-Manage, and then Hungry Joker. So we've been talking about how none of those have been doing particularly well, and they're the basement dwellers now.
I wonder if they'll cancel Cross-Manage just because it's been around longer than Kuruko.
Well, yeah, I think that Kuruko's only just started getting its ranking, so I don't think it was on the axe when, like, on the chopping block when these decisions would have been made. So, of those, I would guess that Cross Manage would be the one.
I think they're going to give Kuruko a longer tail, like just give it a few more chances than they would say Cross Manage or Hungry Joker.
Okay,
because,
well, I mean, to be fair, it has definitely it's jumped around.
Yeah,
on that one.
it was like the sixth one or something last week.
It's just more marketable, I think, than the other two. If between those three, I think Kuruko would be the last to be cut.
Yeah, well, Hungry Joker is only just now starting to get to its ranking ones, so that would be a barrage level. But Barrage and Taka were the only ones that I know of that have been canceled that quickly. So. And then in other news, Shokugeki no Soma, that cooking manga, got the center color again this week, so it's probably continuing to do pretty well in the rankings that haven't been released yet.
Should we start reading that? Is that a thing?
I've been reading it. It's entertaining. It's putting in the pieces that it needs. There's just not really any challenge at this point. It's well drawn, and I don't know if there's that much to talk about on a week-to-week basis, but I'd be up for putting it in kind of like the same way that we do Nisekoi, where it's
that's my thing.
Interesting
of it, like,
happens, we can talk about it.
We barely have enough to talk about with Nisekoi. If something's similar to that, then that's going to be a lot of, and then this happened, and then the end.
Well, what if we brought that in and went bi-weekly with each of them? Just back and forth.
Assuming that worked out, I had no problem with that.
Yeah,
also, I should probably read that, because I amazingly have not been reading it.
Yeah, no, it's the artwork in it is very well drawn, but most of the chapters basically end up with, and then the protagonist cooks something, and it tastes really good, and everybody loves it.
The girl has a, like, mind orgasm, and then is drawn having a physical orgasm, the end.
Or the guy. There are also, yes, yeah. There's plenty of fan service for the ladies in this one.
Never mind.
I kind of wonder what the female readership of Shonen Jump is.
You
can't
mean
be that high.
No, it's almost half.
Really?
Yeah, no, there was some statistics about that came out late last year.
So
but everything trends towards men. Like, so every single comic.
That crazy Nintendo type thing of somehow managing to play both fields.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, it's stuff like, I think One Piece was one of the ones that had higher female readership than male. Let me see if I can find that.
I could see that. Bitches love Luffy.
I mean, One Piece does have a lot of shirtless men all the time.
Yeah, I just know that the
but those shirtless men look like
biggest. The biggest one in terms of discrepancy between the two genders was Nisekoi, which was like 70-something% of the readership was male.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That would explain that reader pool very well.
1,500 entries.
All right, I found the Japanese page. Now, I thought we had talked about this on here before.
Probably. This sounds like something we talked about.
It's been 52 episodes. Who knows or cares?
No, but it would have been like in the past month or two.
We should probably get into the manga because we have a bunch of good stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah. This was posted back in November, and let's see, it was, since I can't find a translated page, I don't know what the top two are, but Hitman Reborn, One Piece, and Bleach are all in the top six for female readership. Bleach is at 50.7% female readership, and then Naruto is the sixth to last on the male readership. And then Nisekoi, I know, is the one that was at the top, and I'm sorry, it was 83.3% male.
Wrong with those 17% of women?
But I seem to remember that the translated summary said that it was not quite, but like around, I think, 40%, 60% split between the gender, but it doesn't actually have a breakdown like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, the more you know. So let's go ahead and start with Beelzebub.
This was probably my least favorite chapter of the week.
Nothing happened.
It's kind of confusing.
There was that.
Well, no, it wasn't confusing. I mean, they introduced, okay, so in addition to the three that we've talked about, there's three other guys.
Yeah, but it did that like One Piece thing of like, it just showed the guys and put up a name placard, then they were pretty much, that was the extent of their introductions.
So the gist of this is basically there's the three beasts that we heard about last week, and then there's also the three kings, which are, I guess their distinction is they are not freshmen.
Well, one of them's a freshman.
The impression that I got from it is that the beasts are kind of, I think, off on their own, doing their own thing and are very powerful, but that the kings have a subordinate structure going on. That seemed to be the impression that I got, but...
Also, one of them looks like he's 50.
Yeah, like bald with a mustache and a cane.
Yep.
Kind
of weird. And he's a freshman.
I thought he was a junior.
No, he's a freshman.
Oh. A blind masseuse. Then there's that other guy who, and first introduction, what is his name? Akahoshi? Yeah, Akahoshi. Yeah. He looks a ton like Oga. But then later in the manga, it looks nothing like him, so...
It's his evil twin brother.
At first I was thinking it's just Beals would choose somebody that looks like Oga.
I kind of thought that's where it was going to.
But then, like, when they show him later, he looks sort of different. But yeah, basically, they go back to the Nasu-Oga fight.
Yes, and there's the best moment in it, probably in the entire chapter, where Beals draws Naruto whiskers on Nasu.
And then Oga makes a Databayo joke.
Yes.
Which, does Naruto even say anymore?
They stopped scanlating it that way.
I'm sure it's still present in the Japanese one.
I've heard him say it when I've watched anime clips, so...
He still says believe it in the newer episodes.
I think they've shortened it to bio most of the time, but...
Okay.
Yeah, Oga says he'll give him a lullaby-o.
And then
gives him a free hit.
And he is uppercutted very hard.
Into the ceiling.
Oh, no.
And Beals kind of disappears?
Yeah, I was wondering what happened to Beals there.
Yeah, somebody comments that Beals also went into the ceiling, but yeah.
Yeah, Oga, I mean, clearly anyone who's ever read manga knows that Oga is not defeated right there.
No. Although Natsume does look kind of worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also find out the backstory on the Red Hawks that split, or Red Tails that split off to make their own one.
See? It's easy to do, huh?
Yes, only yes
for you
it is.
Not for anyone else.
So, Yeah, they're the New World Red Hawks. Tails.
Yeah, they do it with the having, God, I forgot her name, Nene, explaining it to Paco.
Yeah.
And then you see Kuneda being confronted by the New World Red Hawks. See, I did that on purpose.
Of course you did. We totally believe that you did that on purpose.
Yep. The interesting thing is, Kuneda seems to know who's in charge.
Yeah.
Well, it would make sense. You know, you would imagine that a female gang member would be somebody that she would be familiar with.
Who'd lambast her for not wearing the red tail outfit.
So yeah, partway through Natsu's fight with Oga, the bald old guy shows up. Whatever his name is. Ichikawa?
Blind masseuse, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Akahoshi also shows up.
Who now does not look like Oga.
At all. Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah. And Funky Student from Persona 4 is behind him.
Yeah, okay, that's what he kind of reminded me of. Also, what's his face from Bakuman is there too?
Fukuhara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fukuda.
Yeah.
They talk a bit of, like, there's a short discussion.
They're
somewhere.
Arguing over who should get credit for beating Oga, basically.
And then the chapter ends with Oga screaming at them that he doesn't care who takes the credit, he's going to kick all their asses as he's trying to push himself out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
And Beals is still absent.
Also, this issue does that really dumb, annoying thing where they talk about, oh god, Natsume is going to be a big issue, and then drop it.
They did that just for you.
Natsume's never going to fight. You're crazy.
It's becoming somewhat annoying that they keep doing this. Like, is it a running joke or what?
I think so.
I think it has to be considered to be a running joke at this point.
It's an intentional running joke.
Beals likes playing with the tropes and then not going through with them the way that you think they would.
But usually it makes it more obvious than it does this time. Or at least with Natsume.
But yeah, so at this point, I think the big question is, does Oga do Super Milk Time and get beaten again next chapter?
Nah. Natsu's not going to be the one to take him down.
But might the three of them combined be able to?
Maybe. I do think the third one that we don't see, the Tabako, I think that's the Red Tail that's talking to Kuneida.
That would make sense.
That's my theory. Considering they're both smoking in their pictures. Also, female names usually end in Ko.
I mean, overall, this is sort of a boring chapter.
It was a weird chapter.
Entertaining chapter, but it was definitely a, setting the stage chapter. There's not a whole lot to talk about because they set the stage very well.
But it's weird because they set the stage last chapter.
And also, usually when Beelzebub does the set the stage chapters, they have a bunch of sight gags. Like, or Furuichi commenting on the side, or something. And this was just villains show up, villains interact with each other, Oga comes out at the end.
More characters, more characters, more characters. It felt kind of bleachy in that regard.
Well, I guess the question is, how much does that reflect on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, if he's actually following that entire style?
Hmm.
Maybe we need Robin to explain this to us.
We need our expert on call.
Our TED Talk on JoJo.
Yeah, so I'm thinking...
I'm still enjoying the Naruto side gag, I'm sorry.
It is a pretty good side gag.
That was pretty good.
So I'm just saying, like, even on the last page where it has him just leaving them drawn on.
So I'm thinking the last guy they talk about, Fuji, I think he's probably going to end up being the big bad of this arc. Just for no reason other than that he has spiky hair, as we've noted. People with spiky hair have demon powers.
Well, I think that it's going to be... I think it's going to be the three of them combined are going to be the big bad, because the dream was all three of them taking Beals. So yeah, I think that there's going to be some sort of accord between them.
Well, they also say...
What I'm going to guess is Ogre is going to pull himself out here, he's going to beat these guys, and then they're going to form a triumvirate to take him down.
Like an evil, whatever it's called.
Evil League of Evil.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Well... Whatever it is, I imagine next week will be better, because they've gotten all this set up out of the way.
Yeah, this felt like just house cleaning.
Yeah.
Like, here's the rest of the people, a couple gags. Okay, that's it. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it just, eh.
And also, I mean, they introduced a bunch of characters, but also they kept some reveals close to their chest, which, I mean, either do it or don't.
I do find it really funny that that big, bald, mustached old guy is a freshman.
Yeah.
That's pretty
I
funny.
don't know. He doesn't look that old. It's just that there's the mustache and the bald head, and trust me, I had a friend who, when he was a freshman, had more facial hair than that, so.
Well, the scar and the cane
He
and.
looks pretty old. He looks like an old Yakuza guy.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be intentionally. He's that's a sight gag for him.
I still really enjoy Nasu's design too. He's visually entertaining.
Yes,
I
he
hope he
is.
keeps the thing around his neck the entire time.
Just the entire chapter?
The entire
Or the
like
entire
arc.
arc?
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like that would be, as long as he's mobile in it, it's a pretty decent defense, right?
And now maybe Oga has one as well.
That'll be the fight is cement collar versus cement collar.
Cement collar fight. I'm trying to think of a manga that did stupid gimmicks like that all the time.
Beelzebub?
Maybe. I remember there's one that was typically like, okay, now this is a handcuff fight. I want to say it's Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, it sounds like something Yu Hakusho would do.
Oh yeah, that was a knife edge fight in the Dark Tournament. Where they sat on knife or they stood on knives and the first one to get stabbed in the ankle was gonna lose.
God, that was a good manga.
All right, then. Any
Yep,
thoughts or
I'm going to be a
predictions?
terrible person and have never read that, so.
My only prediction is that Tabako is the Red Tail, but that's not really that far out there.
I've kind of already tossed mine out there where I think that Oga is going to do something which is going to cause the evil guys to form an alliance to take him down.
And
I
then,
think Tojo is fighting Fuji.
yeah, probably.
Because that's the one fight they haven't gone to at all, anywhere. And like the silhouette of Fuji is outside the school where Tojo is fighting somebody.
And Tojo's, what do you think, gonna, or no, you mean Takamiya, right? Or no, Fuji, you're right. Never
Yeah.
mind. Yeah, so Tojo's gonna lose, right?
Yeah, I can see that happening. Tojo gets sent to the wall in the middle of an Oga fight or something.
Yeah, completely knocked out and like beaten to a pulp.
Yeah, takes out Oga as he flies through the wall.
Actually, that would be pretty cool. I would be okay with that.
Tojo's the new king for defeating Oga.
If they hadn't already used up the Furuichi thing, that would have been a good way to use him this arc.
That would have been fantastic. Yeah.
All right then. Done
So,
with Beelzebub.
on to Nisekoi, which is.
Chitoge's mom is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Awesome,
continue. Yeah.
insane, and a complete bitch.
Yeah, awesome.
Raku is still her indentured secretary.
And he's dressed up all pretty.
Yeah, he slicked his hair back, has a vest.
Yeah, and we get an idea of just how busy her schedule is as we see everything marked down almost to the minute level.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 minutes apart all day.
Like the longest thing she has is about 7 minutes. And
And
she's been tasked with fixing a company that is supposedly famous.
yeah, and just I think that the one item that's noted to show just how crazy she is in this segment is the entire she's in an online meeting in her car and talking in 5 different languages.
Yeah, like holding a conversation with 5 different people in 5 different languages all at the same time.
Then like the CEOs like beg her for help and they ask her to step on them, and
Yes.
she replies, "No, you're filthy," and then steps on them anyway.
And then she starts sending Raku off on errands, starting with get her a Coke within 3 hours, and then if she needs anything else, she'll call her. She'll call him.
And
And
then
then
she
it
needed
immediately
everything
grows
else.
to get me a plushie that's only sold at Tokyo Disneyland.
And then she wants Chanel bags and.
Every kind of Chanel bag that's only sold in Japan.
And if he doesn't get her those things, then death will not suffice.
And he eventually makes it there.
Yeah, he actually accomplishes this.
Yes, 30 seconds late.
And they had
I
to
did
go
like the
next door.
line, my motto, time is not money. You can't buy time, now can you? So to make up that 30 seconds, she grappling hooks to the other building.
Yes.
She is fantastic.
They should totally just cancel Nisekoi and make a manga about Chitoge's mom.
Just crazy CEO lady.
Yes, I'd read it.
I would totally read that too.
So anyway. I love her just come somersaulting in through the window onto the boardroom table.
And then just begins the meeting.
Yes.
So anyway, meanwhile, while she's in that meeting, Raku gets a break and calls Chitoge. Lies to her, or no, wait, said you wanted to tell your mom to tell you that she was happy you were still wearing the ribbon. And then he basically tells her, instead of doing the hotel thing, why don't you suggest that you spend Christmas Eve with her?
And so Chitoge takes that advice to heart and calls, and her mom rebuffs her.
Yep, basically. Says that she's already made the arrangements and she doesn't have the time to spare for her.
Yeah, because, I was assuming you were going to do the hotel thing, so I will be working. Oh, is there anything else? I'm going to hang up then.
Yeah, it was pretty harsh.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you're a bother, leave me alone kind of tone to it.
And Chitoge takes off the ribbon because symbolism.
Yeah. Well,
and then it says Decathet, which I... What?
What'd you say?
And at the very end, it says Decathet. Like the last panel.
Oh.
It's a word.
Is it?
Decathet. To withdraw one's feelings of attachment from a person, idea, or object as in anticipation of a future loss.
Huh.
That is a very high English word to be used in a manga scanlation.
Well,
I'm a writer and I didn't know that word.
Well, it's a highbrow manga. The thing we skipped over was Raku does attempt to chew out Chitoge's mom about this. But
yeah, and then she basically retorts with, there's nobody else who can do this stuff, so I have to.
Yeah, kind of shuts him down before he can even get started.
Dictionary says Decathet's not a word.
Your dictionary's full of shit.
It says Decathet is a word.
Not so they typoed. Nah.
That would explain things. Anyway, I'm on to you, Nisekoi.
Anyway, Chitoge looks cute with her hair down, so she can be sad.
Have we ever seen her with her hair down in the manga before?
Yeah. Nope, she's always had the ribbon, even like when they're in the bath or something.
Hmm.
So I think Raku is going to start falling in love with Chitoge a little bit.
He does seem to legitimately care about her, you know,
yes.
And her feelings.
But as more than a friend. And honestly, that's kind of what this manga needs, because the regular love triangle was stupid.
Yeah.
Because you had two people with feelings for each other, just didn't say it because they were stupid. And one person who had feelings for the guy, and the guy was stupid.
Yeah. So only one person.
And she didn't even admit it to herself for a large portion of the series.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a development that I can get behind.
I assume Raku is going to yell at her again. Also, not Chitoge, Chitoge's mom.
Also Chitoge's mom for like sensational character find of 2013.
Yeah. Early front runner for the category that we're going to establish best new character in an ongoing manga.
Best new mother.
I don't
mother
know how
I'd
often
like
do
to
people
read.
Get new mothers.
You say mother I'd like to read?
Yes.
A Miller?
That's going to be the category name if I remember that in December.
Just put a post-it note on your computer screen. Just M-I-L-R, you'll remember what it means.
Yeah, this was not a bad chapter, all things considered.
I'm not seeing this arc go on for more than another chapter, though.
No. Yeah, it's going to end next one, at most.
Next chapter.
Do any of them go longer than three chapters?
Some of them have.
Like, the play was like five or six, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then, like, wasn't there the one thing out in the woods?
Yeah, that stuff.
Where it was a class vacation sort of thing, and that lasted for a while.
Well, I don't think this can sustain itself past three chapters.
No, it's...
Obviously, next chapter is going to be where the series takes its turn to really go for the votes, and it will just be about their night in the hotel.
That's the new 20-chapter arc.
I have thought you were going to say, and then it becomes a panel manga. starring Chitoge's mom.
I can get behind that.
I thought you were just going to say Chitoge's mom becomes the new love interest.
She's been having a key made, and that's what Raku's been doing all day.
Yeah, that's right. She still does know him from childhood, so I wonder if we're going to get answers about that.
And they did remark how young she looks.
No, no.
You guys are terrible.
You're terrible.
Are we terrible, or are we just rising to Nisekoi's expectations?
Both?
Either. All right, so...
My attempt at turning this into a real discussion failed. So do you think we're going to get answers about the past through her in the next chapter?
I don't think that she's actually going to say anything to him. I think that the readers might learn a little bit more from an internal monologue that she has.
Like, after he chews her out and she dismisses him, she'll just, like, look at some photo that he's in and go, like, you know, that boy from that time, huh? And that's about all we get. And
then she'll pull the key out of a drawer.
She'll have a second locket.
Turns out that she had given a fake one to Chitoge or something like that.
And then she'll say something about the prophecy is about to be fulfilled.
Because she can never get together with Raku, because it's bad for her bottom line. All right, I think we've exhausted Nisekoi discussion.
Exhausted is a good word for it.
Deck effect.
Is that the best
educational moment of the year?
So on to Assassination Classroom.
Speaking
of education. This is a heartwarming chapter.
So I feel the need.
It's a good introduction to a new arc.
Yeah.
I feel the need to point out, because I read it on the NeoGAF thread for manga, that the cameraman on the back of Kuro Sensei's magazine here is a real thing in Japan.
A guy with a camera for a head, looking through a camera.
Yes. Apparently, he just recently got like unmasked.
And is that a big deal?
Yeah, sure. Japanese Stig or whatever he is.
So it would be like a Jack from Jack in the Box getting unmasked.
Maybe.
Or that Racer X they use on Top Gear.
I was just amazed when it was like, yeah, the Stig. I made that joke.
Oh, that's okay. I never actually bothered with the name, so I have no idea.
How can you not watch car shows? Ugh. I was just amazed that was a real thing and not just a gag.
I mean, there's been plenty of other real things that have been stuck into this manga before.
I've been trying to figure out, like, what this Sonic Ninja movie they're looking at, like, what that's supposed to be. Because usually he won't just make something up.
I think that because it was being referred to so much, maybe he was actually worried about copyright infringement for that? I don't know.
I mean, my theory is that, like, the design, at least, if you take away the sword, it's basically Iron Man.
Yeah, Iron Man was what I was going to say.
So maybe he just like, maybe he was originally just looked way too much like Iron Man and Jump made him change it.
Could be.
He kept saying Sonic Ninja, and I just kept thinking of One Punch Man.
Speaking of which, new chapter of that this week, too.
A new half chapter thing.
Yeah.
They've been so weird about the point.
Yeah, I don't even know how that numbering system works. It was the length of a real chapter.
Yeah, and it also was like plot development, too.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so Koro Sensei admits that he's going to go to Hawaii to see an American superhero movie called Sonic Ninja that's directed by a Japanese director. So Nagisa and Karma decide they also want to go.
Yeah, not for nefarious reasons.
They can come along.
Yes. And then...
And so does Ritsu.
Yeah, yes. Who has downloaded herself onto Nagisa's phone.
Everyone's phone, in fact, she mentioned.
Because that's not creepy at all.
What's with the panel where she's on his phone and there's like an arrow pointing upwards?
Oh, she's pointing at the camera because she's talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that took me a second too.
That makes sense.
Yes, he has an iPhone.
That he does. No, well, Japan.
A very, like, not even like slightly changed iPhone. It's just totally an iPhone.
Yep. So Koro Sensei tucks Karma and Nagisa into his robe. And...
Which would have been, while they were on the ground, a very convenient time to attempt to assassinate him.
Yes. Well, they didn't think about it until he took off. And they were already over the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Which point Ritsu mentions, hey, why not just kill him now?
And Karma's like, because we'll die.
Which is something she probably doesn't understand as an AI.
also, like, not
also,
even...
Also, there's copies of her in the other phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, there's a copy of Nagisa down there, too.
Yeah, nice. Well played.
Yes.
So, yeah, they get to Hawaii.
Well, while in the air, they get an educational... they get taught about Ublick.
Yes.
Of course,
the things like blocking all the air pressure and dust and things from touching them.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, he slipstreams them.
Yeah. And also, he brought blankets because it was really cold in the movie theater.
Yeah, because in Hawaii, they keep the air conditioning up really high.
I think it's kind of weird if, like, you're a teacher that brings two male students with you to a movie theater and, like, hey, let's all get under these blankets.
Hey, there's a female student there in the iPhone.
Totally, and then the same thing.
Then you stick your tentacles into their ears.
Yeah, that was weird. He kind of, like, babblefishes himself. And
yeah, he babblefishes them.
Well, he doesn't do it to Karma. Karma seems to be okay understanding English, but Nagisa needs the help.
Karma's a ridiculously smart student.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they watch the movie, and Nagisa's getting really into the story and thinks that, like, oh, this is a fantastic superhero thing. And wonders if Koro Sensei thinks the same thing, but all he's thinking about is boobs.
Whether they're a G or an H.
Yes.
It's very important to the plot.
Yeah.
And then it's revealed at the end of the movie that the bad guy is the brother.
Yes.
I didn't see that coming. I don't know about you guys.
Because it's Iria.
It's a pretty good twist.
It completely blindsided me.
Yeah.
Nagisa and Karma saw it coming all the way, and it caught Koro Sensei by surprise. And it says Koro Sensei's weakness is 14. Hackney plot developments make him cry.
I like the shape of his head while he's crying. It's all wobbly.
That's another highbrow word being used this week. Hackneyed.
Hackneyed.
Highbrow manga.
Yeah.
Jump cast, you always learn something. But yeah, I wonder if, like, this is a thing where the mangaka saw a bad movie and decided to write something about it, like, write an issue about it.
Well, no, I think that it was just attempting to establish the parallel, which we'll get to in a second.
It shows how slice of lifey this manga can be.
Yeah.
That he can just take an experience that he has and just make an issue.
Yeah, and it was a good issue, like, going to the movies with the teacher.
Like, yeah.
It was interesting. So then he supersonic takes off and flies away.
Because he's tutoring another student at their home today.
And then we see a boy on the treetops follow Koro-sensei with his eyes as he goes by. Yes,
the movement.
Yeah.
And we find out that he is the new student and is the brother, supposedly. Well,
he calls Koro-sensei his brother.
So I'm pulling out the old theory I had that Koro-sensei was actually created by the government.
Yeah, the symbol on the guy's back is like the hydrogen atom. So.
Well, no, it's either hydrogen atom or it's supposed to be the Earth and the Moon.
Oh, I guess it could be.
Yeah.
Well, they do say they're getting revenge for the Moon.
Yeah, they say that, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's supposed to be a kind of like misdirect where because they have the Moon there, you instantly are supposed to think Earth and Moon. But that is if I'm not mistaken, the universal symbol of the atom, and I think that that's something that a lot of atheists use as their symbol because of that too.
Koro-sensei versus atheism.
Yeah.
And Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Don't forget Dr. Manhattan.
Yep.
Big blue.
Yeah.
There have been more than enough Western references in this comic.
So, I mean, obviously what's going on here, the way I see it, is that Koro-sensei is the result of an experiment, and this is another experiment. Just
right.
Because this kid looks cray-cray. Like,
yep.
Does
like,
not look
literally
right in the head.
Insane.
He has the Rinnegan. And that's why he can see Koro-sensei's movements.
So yeah, I do wonder if that symbol is the Earth and Moon, if there is something on the Moon that is the reason Koro-sensei blew it up, like if they had some kind of base up there or something.
That would be a good twist. That Koro-sensei, like, we speculated last week that he had actual reasons, or maybe he didn't actually do it.
Yeah.
But if he's trying to save people, that would actually fit pretty well within his character.
I mean, I hope for how much they're bringing up the Moon. Because it was in the chapter a lot this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but the only other thing is then, why would he threaten to blow up the Earth then?
Because he needs to create an army of people to help fight back.
Or he just wants to teach those kids.
Yeah. How else would a tentacle monster that blew up the Moon get a job teaching?
also manga.
Yeah.
That is a fair question to be.
I'm actually kind of curious how they're going to handle this, because Koro Sensei can't fight back or anything.
Yeah, he'll, you know, make that kid nice somehow.
I mean, if they repeat too close to what they did with Ritsu, it's going to be repetitive.
Oh, I'm sure they won't. This guy seems like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm not sure how to handle completely insane science experiment.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, like, trained assassin.
Well, they've done that before, too.
Yeah, a couple times.
Which I guess is the best point. This series is continuing to make us keep us guessing.
Yeah. They're at least going for the moon.
I also just noticed that...
Ba-dum-shing.
I just noticed this guy that's controlling the science experiment. We don't actually see his face, and his eyes just appear to be two dots.
Like Koro-sensei.
Yeah, do you think we could be dealing with an evil Koro-sensei? Or evil-er? I mean, he also doesn't appear to have any arms.
Legs.
Well, didn't Koro-sensei have legs when he first appeared?
He has shoes. I mean,
like when they showed them. When they showed him talking to the teacher, didn't he have legs?
Yeah, that is true.
I could definitely see an anti-Koro-sensei out there.
I mean, the cloak bears, you know, a not insignificant resemblance to what Koro-sensei wears.
Yeah, his teacher's robes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I just hope that it's not going to end up that this is the guy who actually blew up the moon.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think he would take credit for it. Wait, what? Wasn't there a thing that the chairman said that, like, he implied he knew Koro-sensei didn't do it?
Well, no, he implied that he knew that Koro-sensei was human.
No, that was,
Kurosuma.
Oh, okay.
I think the chairman just implied that he knew that, like, Koro-sensei was a good guy or something like that. Like, wasn't evil. Because he questioned, like, why someone who would blow up the moon would do all these nice things for people. Yeah, things are definitely getting interesting. I'm glad to see this happening.
Plot development.
Yay.
Good chapter this week, but I'm not sure about any real predictions, so.
I'm going to go with mine. Evil, you know, other experiment and evil Koro-sensei. Or, you know, maybe it's totally the opposite of that.
Maybe. I do like the idea that there's an evil Koro-sensei out there.
Eviler.
Yes.
Give it up, you're never going to find that page.
I found it, but I don't...
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of plot development...
Really?
Well, speaking of stupid plot development...
Speaking of ancient immortal ghosts stabbing each other again and again... Yeah? No?
Sure.
So, Zaraki and Unohana are still fighting.
Yeah.
And I guess we speculated last week of what was actually happening, but it seems like Unohana is stabbing him, or killing him, and then healing him immediately.
Yeah, like, actually killing him and reviving him.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think giving him mortal wounds to the point that he blacks out, but then healing him before final death sets in.
Yeah.
And then we get a flashback to when they first met and the first time that they fought.
Yeah, which explains how they fought while she was still a Kenpachi, which satisfied me because I wasn't sure how that could happen timeline-wise.
I actually did like the introduction where she was just walking by and...
She's sitting on a pile of corpses.
Well, everyone thought the pile of corpses was Unohana's and she thought it was somebody else's. Then Kenpachi just gets up and just runs at her.
I kind of like how the... How the pile of corpses seems to come out of nowhere. It's just like, wait, how long has that giant pile of dead bodies been there?
I think she thought the other Shinigamis did that.
Maybe. That's a really cool scene, though, of, like, little Zaraki coming out of the pile of bodies with his sword.
Yeah. And it also kind of explains why he was so attached to Yajiru. Like, the idea of finding a child just out there in the middle of a war zone.
Yeah. Kind of saw himself in her.
Yes.
Yeah, then he jabs her in the chest.
And now we know how she got that scar.
Yes. And like apparently she believes that she was in fact, this is the part I find stupid. She was in fact weaker than Kenpachi, but in my from what I'm interpreting of this, Kenpachi or Zaraki was lowered his level because he was so desirous to fight an equal
Yeah.
that he stuck himself at Unohana's level.
Well, it's so
Well, no, it wasn't just that he stuck himself at her level, it's that he enjoyed the feeling of being in a real fight so
which
much that he didn't want to lose that feeling.
yeah, basically, you know, his entire life he was looking for someone that was fun to fight, and he finally found someone, and he just subconsciously did not want to kill her.
Well, I
And
mean, as an explanation, like, this is the thing I was complaining about a couple of weeks ago, that Kubotete desperately wants to wrap everything up in the past in a nice little bow, like that Bankai explanation.
yeah.
And, like, needing to explain why he lost to Ichigo wasn't necessary. You could just say Ichigo, like, I am okay with believing Ichigo is the main character and he taps into some weird-ass power that lets him be stronger than anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, no, but that you see, the only problem that was the like the whole power level argument was that Ichigo beat Kenpachi before he had hollow powers and everything else, and then he lost at his best to Noitora, who then loses to Kenpachi because Kenpachi chose to use two hands. And I am perfectly fine with the explanation that Kenpachi learned how to enjoy fighting and subconsciously plays to the level of his opponent. Because
Yeah,
that
he's like.
fits with his personality, with the entire bells in the hair thing and wearing his eye patch to hand purposely handicap himself so that he can enjoy the fight.
I think it fits, but it's such an extreme example that it just comes off as stupid.
Well, Kenpachi's kind of an extreme person.
Like, I think it fits the character perfectly,
Yeah.
and I enjoyed this chapter.
It's the Goku weighted clothes thing of this manga. It's such a totally unnecessary thing to pull out when, you know, you don't really need that reason.
But it fits into what's going on here of her, you know, slowly teaching him, you know, pushing him further and further to the edge to just make him stronger and stronger. Because he can't help but hold back.
And it kind of, I feel it kind of does ruin his character a little bit, even though you guys say it's consistent. The fact that it always, like, after Soul Society and towards the end of Soul Society, it made you think that Kenpachi was getting stronger because he realizes he had things to fight for. And now
I
it's not.
never thought that. I thought it was just that, oh, Ichigo beat me, so therefore I have to beat him. That's really all I took from his character.
Well,
He wasn't trying to defend anything.
when he was protecting Orihime in Soul Society, I felt like he had things that, like, it may have been a misguided protection, but he was doing it, he was getting stronger because there was more than just fighting for himself.
Wasn't the
I
reason he protected Orihime because she was one of Ichigo's friends, and he if she was alive, then Ichigo would come for her eventually so he could fight Ichigo again?
Right, and it was misguided, but it still, it had more to it than just, oh, I'm also at everybody's level. There's,
But
it
that's his
takes,
conscious, but that's his conscious decision, and the entire.
it takes every little bit of character growth Kenpachi has had and just throws it out the window.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, he still had that character growth.
It just shows that
Doesn't erase that.
subconsciously he enjoyed fighting that much.
And that's not at all stupid to anybody else here.
I
No.
think you're just looking for nits to pick.
I think your standards for Bleach are so low that you think this is amazing is really
Oh,
quite
I'm not saying it's
off-putting.
amazing.
No,
I'm
it's.
saying it's satisfactory.
I think it's definitely kind of stupid that that's just the biggest hand wave this whole arc.
There's been worse things this arc. Don't. Lloyd Royd was this arc.
Lloyd Royd was okay.
Yeah,
It's one
there
of
have
the
been
biggest hand
many,
waves this
many
arc.
worse things this arc.
But okay, so move past how stupid this is or isn't, which very much is. The Unohana is slowly breaking up Kenpachi's self or subconscious thing about staying the same power level by killing him a bunch.
Well, not staying the same. She's basically forcing him to actually come to her level again. because he had built up all those barriers over the course of years so that he could enjoy fighting other people.
But why does... If he's been doing it the entire time, why does he have to... Why is this necessary for him to come up to hit her level?
Because it was subconscious.
I think the thing that's going to have to happen here is for him to, like... Basically, she's helping him get over a phobia of being too strong. And I think what's going to happen is she's just going to push him until he kills her, which is the thing that he's going to have to do to kind of get past his weirdness with it. Because he doesn't seem to want to kill her.
Looks like it's happening on the last page.
Yeah. I actually couldn't tell who was slashing who at that point.
Well, his arm was coming down.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Still dumb to me.
I found it interesting. It was, yeah, interesting. I'll stick with that.
It was an enjoyable chapter.
I like this fight. I'm happy this fight is still going.
I'm happy that we're getting to see it.
Even though I find it dumb, it's not significantly dumber than most of Bleach. Like, you guys think I'm, like, you know, raging about this, but I just think it's stupid.
No. I can see where you're coming from, but I disagree.
But yeah,
I think you need to stop raging, Imran. I can feel your rage through this phone call.
Yeah, I think Kenpachi's character was better before the chapter.
Oh, we'll wait and see until he gets his Bankai.
Which hopefully they'll actually do.
Yeah,
he finds a way to hold his sword with two hands again.
That'd be funny if he just gets his Shikai. He never actually gets his Bankai in the course of the manga.
I feel like this arc has not been about Ichigo that much.
And yeah, I think that's a good thing.
Like, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's kind of funny that Kenpachi has had better and more moments than he has.
I think he's a better character than Ichigo is.
Well, yeah. That's been true since Soul Society, at least.
Yeah, that doesn't take very much.
All right. Thoughts, predictions?
Just more of this fight, I bet.
I think the next chapter is... I think that last slash is going to end up being the he beat her slash, and then we're going to be in the kind of...
Fallout from that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think next week is... Yeah.
Or they switch back to the Zanpakuto.
Oh, God.
Nah, I think we're going to get one more chapter of this, and then we're going to go back to the Zanpakuto.
I can see them ending this in the first two or three pages, then go into...
Like a half and half.
Yeah.
I would like reasonable. If they don't go back to the Zanpakuto, but we get, like, what Orihime and Co. are up to or something. We just keep jumping around. Please?
Maybe we'll jump back to Ichigo and them, but it won't show the fight against the Zanpakuto. It'll only show the outcome of that. Oh, what we were afraid was going to happen with the Kenpachi fight.
I'd be okay with that.
I'd be fine with that, too.
Sure. Then on to One Piece. Wherein G5 is being chased away by the old lady.
That's not G5, that's...
Oh,
the mysterious army. Mysterious pirates. That we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And she's throwing rocks at them, I guess?
Yeah, with a big smile on her face.
Or flying, or having some sort of rock power.
Both?
No, it just looks like she's jumping and throwing rocks.
Okay, because there's rocks beside her, too.
Perspective.
Eh. All right.
So we get more
Caribbean.
Of the conversation between Luffy and Law back in the day.
Which confused me for a minute, because I didn't know why Nami was still Franky.
Yeah, that was funny to see again after all of this time.
I'm kind of wondering if he did a flashback purely to be able to draw that again.
And yeah. On the first page, we get the first of the dribbles of information which come out, which is that Kaido is not necessarily human.
Yeah.
Because they say he's the strongest creature, he's the strongest thing alive.
Well, I mean, he wiped out Moria's entire crew.
I mean, what do you guys think? He's going to be a Logia of some kind? Or a Zoan, rather?
Well, I mean, it could be... I wouldn't put it past Oda to put out a new species. Now, I'm going to guess that Devil Fruit Power, I'm going to say Zoan, and I'm going to say Mythical of some sort. So, like, I don't know, a Sphinx or something like that.
Here's the thought. What if he's a giant that ate a Zoan fruit? That'd be kind of messed up.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would explain why Moria was so intent on getting a giant soul thing.
Yeah, you're
Have
right.
Have we ever seen a giant with a devil fruit power?
No. Did No, Jaguar just desold, didn't have anything, did he?
No, don't think so.
Yeah, because we've seen
him. I'm trying to think of any of the ones that Marineford had some.
No, they all just had big axes and stuff.
So now the question is, do they work on giants?
Hmm. Well, they work on animals, so I don't see why they wouldn't work on giants. They work on guns.
They work on mops.
Yeah. Fair point.
Yes,
so Law explains the probability of success of taking out all four emperors is 30%.
Which is pretty high, actually.
Yeah, that's a 1 in 3 chance of getting it.
Well, it's just that Law is, you know, he's supposed to be a smart person, so it's not a 1 in 1,000,000 chance. He actually has analyzed the stats, and it's about 30%.
So, given his past decisions and how those have played out, can we trust that 30%?
Well, I mean, it's shonen manga, so 1% means they'll win.
Yeah.
So 30% gives 30 times that chance.
No, you see, 30% is a reasonable one, which means it's possible that they'll lose.
I mean, it's possible, but I don't see that happening.
So, yeah, Law and Smoker continue to talk.
Yeah, and we find out that Law is headed for Greenbit, wherever that is.
Well,
and then he eyes the frozen Baby Five and, God, what was his name?
Kaido is the Buffalo.
Ah, yeah, Buffalo.
Kaido is the Greenbeard dude, so I'm guessing Greenbit is maybe his territory.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Would they go straight for Kaido? Like, would they take out an emperor this quickly?
Maybe Law wants the element of surprise. I mean,
I think that there are more than enough people for them to fight in the New World that going straight up and taking out one of the emperors as an alliance, perfectly fine.
The fact that we still haven't seen Law's crew worries me.
Yeah.
If they're still even alive.
I mean,
it just means that Law can be the 17th crew member.
Yes. My optimistic theory is that Law has them as sleeper cells in Kaido's group.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds that Beppo is a man-made Zoan user?
Seems reasonable possible. To me.
I mean, of all people being inside man on a Zoan army, Beppo is up there.
And it seems like Law's plan now is to basically cut off that Zoan supply.
Yeah, which he seems to have successfully done so far.
Yeah.
So the Marines get the tanker to take the kids home in, and we get the cheerful goodbye.
Where, of course, they're insulting the pirates because they're pirates, and if they don't insult them, then they'll come to like them, and that would be terrible.
Yeah.
Like, those children were so sad at the idea that they couldn't praise the pirates.
And then,
the G5, like, aims their guns at the kids, which seems excessive.
Well, we've seen G5, or, you know, the Marines do worse.
It's funny that that was not Toshigi's line. It was not praising the pirates that was the line.
Yeah. Enough, you're a disgrace.
Yeah, and then all the Marines break down and thank the Straw Hats.
And we get a Smoker facepalm picture, which is a great panel.
I love Frankie posing as they're walking away from the kids.
Yeah, and the kids say that they're going to become pirates too.
It's a very One Piece ending to the arc.
Yes, and then we jump back to Doflamingo, and we see that he is actually jumping. Based off the sound effects.
Yeah.
And he's on something called a sky path.
Yeah. And it was partly cut off, so he's presumably having to take the long way around.
Yeah.
And I wonder who would cut something like that off.
Well, no. Note that it was cut right where the floating raft that has the Denden Mushi and the heads of Buffalo and Baby Five.
That's grim imagery, even though you know it's Law and that's just what he can do.
Yeah.
Baby Five's expression, like, at the reveal doesn't help. Like, open mouth, open eyes. Yeah,
tilted to the side.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's kind of funny because then they're talking. But,
yes.
Yeah. So, what's the over-under that Sanji has her body?
Oh. That's just wrong.
So, anyway. I couldn't hold on to that joke any longer.
Yeah. So, Law's pimp Denden Mushi.
That is a smug Denden Mushi.
Well, it's because he's smug. It just reflects the face of the person talking.
But I guess he would have to, like, manually put the hat on that?
Yeah, like, he
maybe?
Had to dress
I don't
it
know.
And, like, draw on it. And.
But, yeah, he starts talking to Doflamingo. And if he tells him that if he wants Caesar back, he has to retire as a Shichibukai.
Yeah, basically blackmails him.
Yeah. I don't understand what Law's endgame is there, though.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either, but he gives
him... Well, I think that means that the Marines can come after Doflamingo, then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, but if he gives him Backstage a crown, then he can still provide Kaido with Zoan fruit.
Yeah, but now he can't do it from the safety of a Shichibukai seat.
True, but I mean, it just seems easier to keep Caesar crown.
But he seems more interested in crumbling Doflamingo's
Doflamingo.
His house of cards. Like, he seems specifically interested in taking that down right now.
I kind of wonder if he wants to do that, or he's trying to draw Kaido out.
Or he's trying to draw Doflamingo out, make him so angry that he attacks by himself.
He was doing that now.
True.
Yeah.
So if that was the plan, it's already accomplished and Law just messed it up.
Law messing something up? No. No way. Yeah.
I just don't understand his plan here. Though I'm sure there is something there that's going to be like...
either brilliant or absolutely stupid.
Well, I'm thinking even if Doflamingo retires, he's not going to get exactly what he wants out of the deal.
I wonder if Law intends to put someone else in as a Shichibukai in Doflamingo's place.
Like somebody in mind?
Oh man, if he's trying to free up a seat, yeah. What if he... Oh man, what if it's Luffy? Yeah. Hey, he's got the animal theme. Monkey D. Luffy.
But Luffy would never give up piracy.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying he'd be a Shichibukai for very long.
Yeah. I can see him trying to put one of the other supernovas in there.
Yeah, because they were trying to get that alliance together beforehand. If they're doing some back.
Well, we don't know if Law's thing was specifically with Kid and all the others.
Yeah, there was some. I remember there being some implication that could be the case.
I don't know. They seemed well aware of what was happening on Punk Hazard, which makes me think that they knew, like, Law had planned it with them.
Well, they were watching the broadcast.
Well, not like well aware of, like, you know, exactly what is quote unquote happening, but what was going to happen and what the plan was.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So what, you think that, like, Kid get the offer to Kid or something like that?
I think it would make sense. If his sole goal right now is to remove Doflamingo as a Shichibukai, then they need to replace him.
I imagine that's twofold. One, if he wants to get somebody in there, and two, just to put a target on Doflamingo's back.
Yeah.
Because right now he's got diplomatic immunity and they want to revoke it.
I can't think of any other famous pirates that...
that would fit.
Yeah. We speculated Buggy was already one, right?
Yeah. And, it's not just speculation, if I'm not mistaken, because his bounty had been revoked in that one museum.
All right, yeah.
So it hasn't been shown yet. But...
So basically the chapter just ends with Law giving Doflamingo an ultimatum, just like, if tomorrow morning's headline isn't that you retired, you're not getting Caesar back ever. And then Doflamingo snaps.
Yeah.
Like,
so now,
literally snaps.
The question is, what is Doflamingo going to do?
I don't think he has a choice. I'm pretty sure if he doesn't want to invoke the wrath of Kaido, he has to make the deal.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what he's going to do. Both seem like he could just book it and try to take out the Straw Hats before tomorrow, or, you know, actually resign. I have no idea.
I guess the other question is, what exactly is the Sky Road?
Oh, that's how
whatever it is,
fly,
it can
but...
be shaped by Law.
It's the Mario Kart track, you know, with all the colors.
That's not its name.
But that Dendenmushi looks hell to smug at the end.
Yes, it does.
I just love to think about the logistics of, like, Law dressing that thing up. Just like there with a paintbrush, like, no, guys, this is going to be awesome. Just give me, like, 10 more minutes.
He's literally going to snap. You guys have no idea.
Also, did you notice that when Caesar got on the phone, its eyes changed to Caesar eyes?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they always look like
whoever's
the person
talking.
Who's talking.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, did the hat disappear? Well,
no, it just zooms in on its eyes.
I think that hat has to be something he put on there intentionally.
So he just keeps a supply of hats to use as props. That's what we're
Well, I
saying.
mean, he can produce
Oh, yeah,
hats
no,
from
there we go.
nowhere.
It zoomed in on the eye, but you can see the hat. So, yep, he definitely put on the hat himself.
Also like the touch that he used smoker's cigars as the smoke signal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah, that was a smoke signal to draw Doflamingo's attention. It is kind of messed up to cut their heads off and leave them on a
Yeah.
raft.
That's kind of what he does.
Law is kind of a dark character.
So, do you think their bodies are still like in the ice, in the like ocean ice?
Probably.
Because they wouldn't be able to use their devil fruit powers that way. Just kind of perpetually stuck in the ocean.
Not
No, I
that
mean that would
they
make
can do
sense.
much with their devil fruit powers as heads, anyway.
Well, we don't know if they. I mean, Kinemon could control his body. Buffalo's body could be pretty bad if that was out of
Oh,
control.
true, yeah.
I can see him just dropping them in the ocean.
Yeah. Oh God. Just with anchors on him. Just like later. Do 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 do.
That seems like a totally law thing to do.
God, but this eliminates the possibility of a Sanji versus Baby Five fight.
Doesn't eliminate it. I can see
It
Doflamingo getting him out.
postpones it.
Yeah.
If it were going to happen, it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
All right. Thoughts, predictions?
I think Doflamingo is going to agree to Law's terms.
I think he's not going to, and he's going to come after the Straw Hats.
I
Or.
think he's going to try to come up with the Straw Hats, and then there's going to be some sort of Law Xanatos Gambit set up.
He's going to throw open the door on the Sunny, and it's just going to be full of dynamite.
Yeah,
So, in other
something
words,
like
what
that.
you're saying is Law is going to have a good idea?
Well, I mean, this is kind of a good idea. We just don't understand it yet.
I do
We
worry,
can't
though,
judge it
that.
as good or not until we understand it.
Yeah.
I worry that Doflamingo recognizes this as the raft from the freighter, and the Marines and the kids are the ones on the freighter. So if he goes looking for Law.
Don't think Smoker might be able to take him.
I would actually love to see Doflamingo like show up at like a marine installation and there's God, why have I already forgotten his name? The new admiral.
Akainu,
Yeah, okay,
Sokka something, Sakura something.
Sakazuki?
Sakazuki? Sure.
I think, yeah.
And him just like punk Doflamingo in one hit.
Just like stand down, boy. You're out of your
Yeah.
league.
Especially because if they never have a Luffy Akainu fight, that'll just be. I will not consider One Piece a satisfactory manga unless that
They
happens.
have to.
Yeah.
They have to in the way that there has to be a Luffy Blackbeard fight too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, there's been no indication that Luffy even like harbors anger towards Akainu.
Yes,
We
he
haven't seen him
does.
yet.
Wait,
When Jinbei on Fishman Island says that Akainu's the new admiral, Luffy like clutches his chest and gets angry.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets super pissed.
I
Like,
blocked most of that out.
yeah. I know, that's why I'm here.
All right, then. On to Naruto.
That's a
Yes.
long podcast this week.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is. But we
So
also had
Naruto was.
technical difficulties through the middle, so.
You can record a video later and cry about it.
I will. I'll show you.
Yeah,
So, even though this chapter is just about Sasuke, it's kind of awesome.
yes, it
Well, in
is.
fairness, it's
It's
about
about
Sasuke
Sasuke
being
being
just
just
the
the
biggest
biggest
idiot
idiot
ever.
ever.
Like,
Like,
literally
literally
ever.
ever.
So, first of all, they're at the Uzumaki Estate, which is kind of
Which is
awesome.
apparently a thing that exists.
Nobody ever. Do you
Bothered
think that.
to
You know,
go check it out.
it's even called the Uzumaki Compound, and Naruto never went there. So there's a bunch of Oni masks up on the wall, and they take a specific one that looked really familiar, but I couldn't place it. I thought it might have been Sakon at first. Kind of looks similar to him.
Could be who?
Sakon? You know, one of the Sound Four.
Because
What?
I can remember their names.
Yeah, Sakon, Ukon, Kidomaru, Jirobo, Kimimaro, and what was the girl's name? It started with a
I
T.
remember Kimimaro.
Kayuya.
Tayuya, yeah. There we go.
The six people of the Sound Four.
The sound, yes. I know.
That's pretty impressive that you can remember all them.
Anyway, Orochimaru grabs them with his weird snake hands.
The sound ninjas before him them were Don, Keen, and Zaku.
Congratulations.
Oh, I'm a loser.
Yeah, so Sasuke makes it into Konoha,
And
and There's a nice two-page spread, which I explained to you guys earlier.
It mirrors Naruto's return at the start of the part two.
Yeah. Except with Sasuke, it's at night, the city is abandoned, and Sasuke says this place has changed quite a bit. Well, with Naruto, way back in like chapter 298 or something, it's him coming from the other side, the city's full of life, it's during the day, he says this place has not changed at all.
And to be fair to Sasuke, the entire village was destroyed and rebuilt in that meantime.
Still, it's an amazing like parallel that I didn't make that connection when I first read it, and I was sort of awestruck when you pointed it out.
Because, I mean, to me, that's like the defining page of Shippuden. That's the only reason I remembered it.
It's kind of almost seems to be like bookending, you know, if it's winding down.
Yeah. And kudos to Kishimoto for actually like remembering that. Like, I'm sure he's been holding on that one for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been, like, I'm sure he thought of that when he made the first one and just pocketed it away for the appropriate time.
So, Konoha does not appear to be entirely abandoned. There's a couple people on the street.
But... Are there?
Well, I mean, when you have a forced evacuation, there's always going to be a couple people who ignore it.
Yeah, in a couple shots, you can see people walking around behind them.
And nobody knows the four people on the road.
Didn't the order to evacuate only come recently, after the Ten Tails came out?
Yeah, but these people don't seem to be, like, in a panic. They're just kind of cruising around.
I mean, like, even though Naruto presents everything to the military lens, Konoha is actually just, like, a regular village that I don't think most of those people know or they don't care that much about the ninja stuff.
That would be kind of funny. It's just like, ninja war, whatever.
Orochi who? When did that happen?
He's not my Hokage.
Oh, right. I was watching TV that day.
So... After just, like, checking out Konoha, they go to the Uchiha estate.
Well, there's that good conversation that happened before or after they went to Uchiha about, like, they're saying, you know, you could just destroy Konoha right now.
Yeah, or
he's like,
he's basically just like, hey, weren't you evil?
Wasn't that a thing you did once?
Isn't this, like, your entire life?
You were really obsessed with revenge, were really crazy and emo.
And Orochimaru says a weird thing that, like, they're no longer his snakes.
Which I think
that's a reference to when the group was called Hebi or whatever it was, which translates to snake. But
yeah, I think
that's
just...
Were they originally called Hebi and then changed the name to Hawk? Or
yes,
was it...
because Hawk is the predator of snakes.
Okay. I forget which way it went, because Sasuke is stupid and crazy.
Just go up the food chain.
So eventually they will be called Man.
Yeah.
So they go to the Uchiha... shrine, whatever, that
is
was
also
referenced
destroyed
3,000 chapters ago.
I do like that this big stone is like standing out of all the rubble.
Well, people have been in there since it was rubble, so
they go downstairs and Orochimaru puts on this mask, becomes the death god, frees himself from the death god's stomach, his arms, and then instantly gives himself a new immortal body with all his jutsus. Which,
and then takes over the four Zetsus that were inside Sasuke.
None of this sounds alarming at all to anybody, does it?
No, not in the slightest.
He's suddenly immortal with like the powers of the Death God.
Because Sasuke is the biggest idiot ever.
Well, wait, where did you get the... Maybe I misread that, but where did you get the thing that he gave himself an immortal body?
Doesn't he switch bodies? Like, after stabbing himself in the stomach? Yeah, he uses one of the Zetsus.
Yeah.
Makes a new body.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there he is inside one of the Zetsus.
Yeah, and then he becomes his snake self again, and he's super stoked about that.
Also, you mentioned something about them have like Naruto's power being inside.
Yeah.
Well, yes. No. Okay. So way back, flashback to Yondaime.
Maybe we should say what else he gets out of there first. Like,
oh, yes.
He uses his new jutsu powers to use an Edo Tensai to summon all four Hokages of the past Hokages, rather.
Which, to be fair, if you're going to be asking people questions about stuff that happened in the past, they're probably good people to start with.
Yeah.
And because this has never worked out badly before.
No. So
usually when he summons a Hokage, they're always nice.
This did make me wonder, because in the fight with the third, way back when... He summons the first and second, and then the third stops him from summoning the fourth.
Yes.
But how could he have done that if the fourth was inside the Death God? Is that just
That's
like a plot
question.
Hole?
Yeah.
Just a plot hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the Death God stuff doesn't make sense in the first place.
That's probably just a retcon in that he was doing that and then decided, oh, wait, this would be a convenient place for him to have been sealed away. So.
Okay, so now he's let all this out of the Death God. The other thing that was in there was the other half of the QB's power.
Yes, the
Yang. Probably evil right. half?
That's the yin half, it's called.
Okay.
Naruto has the yang powers.
So now the question is, like his arms, was it just released back to the QB? Did the QB just become twice as powerful?
Or is he going to put it in Sasuke, and Sasuke becomes the second QB Jinchuriki?
I hate you for having this idea. I
yeah.
seriously do.
Oh man, can you imagine, like, Super Saiyan Sasuke QB? Oh.
Then he and Naruto get together.
And then they fusion. It's the best ending.
I hate it because it's decently plausible.
It really is. It's the only thing left in that bag of goodies.
But yeah, when did they establish that the other half of the QB was in the Death God?
It was there was like the one section where
they've mentioned it several times.
Yeah, well, now when Naruto is talking to the fourth inside of himself, when he's going crazy and everything's going to get released, and they go back and they show the ceiling in the first place.
Basically what it was that he tried to seal all of the QB inside Death God and he couldn't. So he could only seal half of it, so he put the rest in his son. Because he's a terrible father. That's basically how that happened.
I'm betting that half is probably kind of evil.
I don't know if there's...
Like, Kurama's just a jerk, but the other half is just evil.
I don't know if it's as cut and dry as good and evil. They say yin and yang, but I think they're, you know... It's not as black and white as that. It's just part of his power.
I mean, it's Naruto. It's generally as black and white as that.
I don't know that there's enough time left in the manga for an evil Kyuubi. An eviler Kyuubi.
Well, Kishimoto said it's not as close as to the end as everybody seems to think it is.
So
my theory is that now that the Hokages are out, Orochimaru, in his new invincible body, is going to take them over and become the actual big bad of the series.
I don't know. Orochimaru is pretty neutered now. I think.
I think combining the bot, like, I think taking all of the Hokage's powers would make him a legit bad. And honestly, like, going back to the discussion that we had with, during the Sasuke versus, what's his name fight? Where I was saying that it would have been more appropriate for that to be Orochimaru. I'm okay with Orochimaru coming out and being the big bad after all this time.
I think there would be genuinely no reason to establish that he's getting his arms and a new body back.
Well, his arms.
If they weren't
so
doing something,
was his arms were for to be able to use the Edo Tensei.
I mean, yeah, but they made a bigger deal about it than I don't think they're just going to leave it like that. Like, well, I'm done.
Wait,
see you guys later.
Are you telling me that you think Orochimaru has an ulterior motive to help somebody?
I don't think he's just going to walk away from this. I think Madara and Obito are not the main villains of the series.
That I'd be okay with that.
So you think that means that Naruto is going to be able to take out the two of them himself, then Orochimaru shows up, and then Sasuke is going to redeem himself by helping to take out Orochimaru?
Yeah, I think this is going to end up with Sasuke and Naruto teaming up to fight either Orochimaru and the Four Hokages, or just one of them.
That sounds like a great band name, Orochimaru and the Four Hokages.
But, I mean, plus, Naruto defeating Orochimaru would probably be the best closure for this series. Because I mean,
he's Voldemort. I mean,
well, there's that, and what's his personal attachment to Obito and Madara really? Orochimaru is the major antagonist of his master.
Yeah, and like just about everybody else in the series.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
but
I gotta
really, with these four being revived, there's basically what two people left that have any plot significance that haven't been revived at some point. Those being Jiraiya and Naruto's mom.
Yeah.
I still think there's time for Jiraiya.
I still think there's time for his mom, too. That would be kind of a creepy happy ending with his parents being brought back as zombies or something.
I feel I feel like his mom counts with the chakra revival thing.
Yeah.
He got to have a conversation with her.
Yeah, okay. and that was really her, right? It wasn't just like some weird memory. It was like the remnants of her personality.
Yeah, it was...
Same with Minato, really. But,
well, yeah, they had that moment, but I guess because he's...
But this is Sarutobi's first resurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's the most significant of these four. Seeing him come back is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think it'd be funny if the first and the second were both like, oh god, not this shit again.
Is it me or is the second like the least relevant Hokage?
Yeah, he's like, the first is the wood one, the third is the one that was alive when the series started, and the fourth is the main character's dad.
And like, apparently considered the best Hokage ever.
I mean, what's the second deal beside being like
Tsunade's grandfather?
Yeah,
I mean, he was related to Tsunade's grandfather. I guess wasn't the pendant that Naruto has from him that can help control the Kyuubi's chakra?
Well, it's the thing that if you're not destined to be Hokage, it kills you.
Supposedly.
Yeah, that was the prevailing theory.
It's weird because the second has like the coolest design of the four.
Yeah. The first one looks just like an Uchiha.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, you know, way back in time.
When they were like, there was no clan difference.
Yeah. Although I guess the first and second would be pretty close in time because they're brothers. Yeah.
I think there's no way this ends without Naruto fighting the fourth.
I don't know if these were brought back for combat purposes, though. I could see them just, you know, being.
I think that they're going to be questioned here, but I can't see Orochimaru getting rid of his uber powerful immortal army.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think Orochimaru, he knows how the Ito Tensei works because they just established he has Kabuto's memories.
You guys are right. Still, that final page of the four Hokages, like, I honestly did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, no, that completely blindsided me.
Like, I thought like, oh, the Death God just to get your arms back. Oh, that's a little extreme, but okay. And then, you know, this just.
I mean, I started realizing it at the point where they had the four of them on the ground.
I had no idea who they were bringing back. I thought Itachi, honestly.
And then what's funny to me is it didn't, like, at first it did not occur to me, but the, like, I'd never realized, thinking about it just objectively, oh wait, all four Hokages are inside of that Death God.
Yeah, that job does not have a very good happy ending to it. Like, every single one of them ended up in the Death God.
Wait, how does that work?
What do you mean?
So, the first and second were brought back, and the third trapped both of them and himself inside of it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's it. Yeah.
And then nobody we later established that the fourth was in there all along.
For some reason, I thought Sarutobi just died like a normal death in battle.
No, he tried to take himself down with Orochimaru and did a really shitty job of it.
Yeah, he took his arms.
Yeah, not even that anymore. That would be funny if Sarutobi's just pissed that Orochimaru's alive.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it.
What did you people do for, like, the last 20 years?
And actually, you're mentioning the bringing back Itachi. What happened to Itachi? Didn't he, like, break himself out of the thing and then has disappeared?
He died
during the Kabuto fight.
Yeah,
he died.
That's
Remember
right.
He, like,
yeah.
touches Sasuke's head as he, like, fades away.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Sasuke gets all mad and Itachi's like, fuck. Just...
So, another Shut person up. I thought they were going to bring back was, I thought maybe it was going to be Donzo, because they're someone that would have a bunch of answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we speculated last week that it, like that person was Donzo. And also, now that I think about it, that was really misleading.
Because
there's many people.
Yeah.
That person was the Death God.
Which, okay, so the Uzumaki's just had a mask on the wall that turns you into the Death God. And they just, like, it was just sitting out there in the forest.
Well, no. I don't think it turns you into it. If you look at there's the one panel where it has his body wearing the mask and then the Death God above it sort of thing. So
okay, well,
I think that
it's
something that allows a non-Sarutobi clan person to summon it.
Still, something you probably want to keep locked up. At the very least.
Yeah, but
how
Naruto doesn't
know
any better.
This? Oh, this must have been what was in the scroll. That was it.
Yeah, they showed that scroll.
Okay. Okay, I'm comfortable with that as the explanation of what's inside the...
Because, if you open that scroll and it's like, how to summon the Death God, it'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing for like a six-year-old.
This might be something that Sasuke would be interested in.
So
why did Itachi want him to see that?
Maybe because he wants him to revive the Hokages and find out the truth, or whatever.
Itachi playing the long game?
So, the four people we have here... From the first, we'll probably get the truth behind Madara, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because he'd be the only person that would know, because he was there when Madara died. The third, I guess, we'll find out the truth behind the Uchiha massacre. I don't know what the other two were for. Just round it out. Have the whole set.
I think we'll find out the truth behind Obito from
the
fourth.
Yeah.
The fourth.
Because I'm sure he knew exactly who he was fighting when they fought at the
Yeah.
community thing.
I feel like there's a very good reason they've never actually shown that fight.
Yeah.
Like they've hinted toward it. They've had things where like, you know, they'll show Minato like teleporting around him and then Obito mentioning, "Hey, maybe you should look at Minato."
Wait, what are you talking about? Minato has fought. Oh, they showed like in the anime too, the fight between.
They skip around it. They don't show much of it.
No, they show the fight.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'm almost okay.
I'll find it funny if they have no questions to ask the second.
We just had an extra Zetsu.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This would have been really weird if we just summoned 1, 3, and 4. So you understand, right?
Like there has to be symmetry here.
Yeah, I'm skimming the wiki, and it looks like the second was the guy who established the entire Anbu organization and that sort of stuff.
So
So,
he was probably up to some shady shit at some point.
yeah.
Yeah. Black Ops.
Yeah,
And about
I'm.
how, according to Toby, the police force was actually established to distance the Uchiha. Yeah. And
You know what?
he was the one who established the military police force too, which is what the Uchiha clan ran.
You know what would have been a really good twist if Tsunade was off to the side?
Yeah, that would be funny.
Yeah,
Because
but
I.
Orochimaru wouldn't have known enough to summon her.
So, you know what surprised me most this chapter? I'm looking forward to a chapter that's probably going to be about Sasuke.
But yeah, no, I was joking about how, okay, now that we're actually interested in Sasuke, it's going to jump back to the Naruto fight.
Yeah, and we're going to be like, God damn it, more Sasuke! God!
I don't think there's anywhere that can go into that Naruto fight that does not end the fight.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the Ten Tails still has to transform again, so
Yeah.
that's going to cause some havoc there, but.
Yeah, it has to transform again, and then the jutsu has to actually be started so Sasuke can break them out of it, and then, you know.
Yeah. But oh
There's
well.
no way that the entire hypnotize of the world thing can't happen at some point.
And Sasuke is going to be immune to it.
Because he's
Sasuke and
Uchiha.
Yeah.
Orochimaru and the Hokages are going to have to break everyone out.
And then Koro-sensei destroys the moon.
So yeah, this was an awesome chapter.
Yeah.
Something occurs to me. What if one of the like the long game for Madara with the entire, you know, hypnotize the entire world thing is that only people who are summoned by the Edo Tensei thing are immune to it. So because these four got summoned, the hypnotize the world thing goes off and Madara thinks that he's won, and then the four Hokages show up.
That seems way too long-winded, but that would be
Well,
awesome.
no, just it's a convenient hap. Like the only reason that they won was because Orochimaru happened to do this thing at this time, and then they both get caught in it too, but which technically frees the four Hokages from their compulsion, and then they go and they confront Madara and kick his ass.
Technically, I mean, there was that time Obito was really interested in how to break the spell.
Yeah, insisted on knowing how to do it and has
Yeah.
not used that knowledge.
Though, I mean, that may have been because he wanted to get rid of Madara if he needed to.
Yeah. But what's to say that Obito does not completely understand this hypnotize the world thing and doesn't realize he would be caught in it too?
Yeah, I
I
mean,
don't think he cares that he's caught in it. I think he expects to be caught in it.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
he seems to expect to die, I think. Wasn't he gonna sacrifice himself for Madara's new body?
Either
Something.
that or he just wants a world where Rin is alive. And if it's a fake world, then that's fine with him. Also, why do their clothes have cracks?
Because they're
I
like,
can understand the armor, but like Sarutobi's robe has
well,
cracks on it.
their face too. I mean, they're like made of paper or something. They have
Yeah.
this weird effect going on.
Yeah. All of them have been like that, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, good chapter.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All of them were pretty good this week.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was a good week, you know. So yes, and then I guess the other question, since it was brought up and we won't cover it this week because we've gone on so long, but do we want to start including One Punch Man whenever there's a new chapter?
I
Mean, is
Because
there
it
anything to
is in
really
Weekly
talk
Shonen
about?
Jump now.
So in the new chapter of One Punch Man,
He punches someone once.
he punches the bad guy once and then it's over. Honestly, that's kind of getting a little old to me. It's kind of reaching that point where I don't know.
I think
Well,
I just, it's been a.
most of the recent chapters haven't really been about him, which is why it's still been entertaining. Like, this
Yeah.
one was totally not about him for the vast majority of the chapter.
Do what I'm doing and just not read any for like 3 months and just binge on them in one day and then you're done.
Yeah. It's like the fast food of manga.
Yeah. It's a really good manga. I don't mean to take anything away from it. It's just, weekly, I don't think it does much good.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. So I suppose we're done.
Sweet.
Sweet.
This has been your Thursday, January 31st Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
So long.
Thank you, best of my friends.
Okay, this is freaking weird. Somebody made a workshop plugin skin thing for Left 4 Dead 2 where it's all of the normal skins but with toon shading.
God, I'm curious to go look if anyone's made one that makes like Coach and Lewis White.
Clean faces, Mom.
Clean them up a little bit.